The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Somewhat unusually today, we're starting the programme with Tech Tuesday with Andy O'Donoghue, but there is a good reason for that. The government today announcing the launch of the new app, which is going to help, it is hoped, in fighting COVID-19. Have you downloaded it to your phone yet? Hundreds of thousands of people have already done so. Andy, tell us all about this app, please. What does it do?
Well, we've been waiting a while and launched this morning, Matt, the COVID Tracker app. And at this stage already, there's well over 400,000 downloads. So from success in distribution, I think I can see why the HSE's chief executive, Paul Reid, said that today was a phenomenal achievement, because based on take up in other countries like Switzerland, which did really well in the first couple of days, for a population of less than 5 million, we've done really well. So the app is there. It's very easy to set up. And when you install it, you get an option of sort of reporting daily. And this is the idea that you say whether you have symptoms or not. It's as simple as that. And the app displays this very handy and straightforward little dashboard showing the total number of check-ins from people like you or me or people using the app, how many are feeling good, and how many people display reported symptoms. And the app then in turn will monitor interactions that you have with people who subsequently test positive for COVID. And this uses the Bluetooth technology on your phone. So you don't have to use location tracking, and there is no data about you stored by the government or anyone else. All of the information is kept on your phone. And over time, what we will hopefully see is that people who do have interactions with subsequently diagnosed cases of COVID will receive notifications and they will say something like, you've been in close contact with somebody, and then you're urged to isolate and report any symptoms. So it's very straightforward and easy to use. And a number of privacy concerns were raised prior to it being launched, but because of the use of Bluetooth, Matt, I think they've essentially been eradicated.
Why? What's so important about the use of Bluetooth?
Well, the technology using Bluetooth, there is no, so this is a decentralized system. Initially, there was talk of a centralized system, and the UK looked at that and in fact piloted one in the Isle of the Isle of Wight, and Germany and other countries talked about it. The Bluetooth system, of course, the Bluetooth technology is on your phone. And so the interactions are measured between you and another person. So there is no third party seeing where you are or what you're doing. So there is no tracking of you. All that's accounted for are interactions that may have happened later. So from a privacy perspective, the government have made the right decision in using this technology.
Okay, sorry, from a future point. So let me just check a couple of things. If you report on this particular app that you're feeling unwell with COVID-19 symptoms, will they then organise a test for you on the basis of that, or will you be recommended to go to your doctor?
Exactly. The latter. So after
you go to your doctor and you go through the normal, procedure. Sorry, but then if you get a positive test, does that then mean that that is logged on your app, and then your app interacts with everybody else to let them know that they've been in contact with somebody unknown who's had a positive test and they need to be checked out?
And that's the principle that it will use to operate, Matt. Exactly. And so on the in the event of a positive test, I believe a code is supplied for you to put into the app to prevent any spurious sort of positive reports from people. So when the code is entered into the app will then examine the keys or the contacts with other users that have occurred, and it will notify them that they have been in close contact with you in the past.
Okay, for this though to be really effective, it means you need an enormous amount of take up, don't you? And there may be issues of people choosing not to take it up, but there also may be issues with their phone being compatible with the technology. Take us through that.
Phone compatibility itself shouldn't be a big deal, because a phone that could run Android 6 Marshmallow, which was released in 5 years ago, or iPhone 6, once they've got the latest version of software running, they can run the app successfully. So there's a the majority of people using smartphones today will be able to use the app. So that's a very positive thing. From an operational perspective, you know, it's a matter. So Bluetooth has to be enabled. That's fine, easy to do, and most people do that anyway because they interact with a headset or a home speaker, that kind of thing. So, and downloading the app is quick. It's available on iOS and on Android. So getting it onto your phone isn't a problem. There is talk of an estimate of 60% of the population required to use it before it's really useful. Now, I've seen other research, some from Oxford, that had about 25% before it starts to make a decent contribution. At this point, Matt, after such a tremendous launch on day one with over 400,000 downloads, it feels like we are well on our way to it being useful. And don't forget, this doesn't replace manual contact tracing. But what it does, it certainly augments the process and hopefully speeds up the contact tracing in the event of a positive diagnosis.
Andy, stay on the line. We also have Liam Herrick from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. Liam, what's your organisation's position on the data gathering here by the government?
So, Matt, from the very beginning when the HSE announced it wanted to go down the road of a tracing app, ICCL, Digital Rights Ireland, and a broad coalition of scientists, engineers and computer scientists, experts have been engaging with the HSE about trying to help work through the data protection and privacy issues that are involved. Back in April, we wrote to the then Minister for Health, Minister Harris, setting out 9 principles that would need to be met legal standards to be met with the app. And we met with Minister Harris in June. And last week, then, we conducted an assessment once the government had published the source code of the app. Now, our overall assessment was a C+ for the app, and basically what we found is that the HSE is engaged in a very thorough process in good faith of meeting privacy standards. It's done quite well on a lot of that, particularly in transparency around the code, the data protection impact assessment, and also some of the safeguards about their intention to have a sunset clause and deleting data. We've identified ways in which they can be improved, certainly, but the big stumbling block is ultimately physics and Bluetooth technology. Bluetooth technology was developed for a completely different purpose. It was developed for people to be able to listen to music and radio without wires. And adapting it for this purpose of contact tracing, the evidence is weak. And that's why countries that have trialed apps of this type, many of them have abandoned them because they haven't been able to deliver the results. And in Ireland, Trinity College have carried out field research about how this technology works in practice, and particularly looking at how it behaves on buses, how it behaves when people are holding the phone in their pockets or their handbags, and the results are weak, that there is a disproportionate number of false negatives and false positives. And what we haven't seen from the HSE is a compelling evidence case that would justify the price of this project and actually give us any confidence that it's likely to deliver the benefits that it's hoped for. So in that sense, we're not in a position to recommend it. We recognise the really good work that's been done in trying to address concerns. But the ultimate question here is, it may be that this just doesn't work.
What do you say to that, Andy O'Donoghue?
Well, Liam's point is a fair one, Matt, and Bluetooth was developed for a different job. And in fact, recently with an interview with The Intercept, Jaap Hartson and Sven Mathisen, who created Bluetooth when they worked for Ericsson, did express their own concern that, you know, that physics is a problem and the physical layer of where the signal is transmitted. So Bluetooth is a radio signal. And, you know, it reacts differently in different environments. So what we might see is people getting, in a sense, these false positives or negatives because they were much closer or much further away from somebody who was subsequently diagnosed. However, What I would say is that that doesn't put me off, and I would wholeheartedly, in an impassioned plea, ask people to download it, because I think that we will see this app iterate and develop. I know that Google and Apple have already said that they are looking at a slight tweak, which is somewhat ingenious, that will transmit this thing called the RSSI. And basically, that's going to tell the receiving phone how strong the signal is that was transmitted. And what that may allow us to do is to have a much more accurate reading created between these two contacts. So whilst there is an efficacy question at the moment, I think it is a great start. And I also think when we have two of the world's biggest technology companies working on this, I think we're going to see good iterations to come.
But Andy, would you not be concerned that the likes of Google and Apple are going to have loads of personal data on us as a result of this app? Or do they have that already because of the fact that we're walking around with our phones in our pockets anyway?
Well, if you use Google Maps, you expose your entire life history of travel. And if you if you use Facebook or Twitter, you transmit lots of private data. Google and Apple will not have personal data about you. And they have said that they do not want it and they will not allow governments to collect it. And if they try to, they will not allow them to use their tools.
OK, but Liam Herrick, would you be worried about private companies having access, even if they say they won't harvest it or use it, that they would have access to this? Or is this an inappropriate concern that people have about the state having access to data when already they're allowing so many private operations an enormous amount of access?
Well, I mean, one of the benefits of the state is that, you know, the HSE is approaching this from a public health perspective. They don't have another agenda. We accept their good faith. And they've talked about statutory oversight, expert advisory oversight. It's all very welcome. The challenge, of course, is that not only are they contracting some private providers to help them develop the app, which exposes vulnerabilities from data leakage. But of course, they also have to do this in partnership with, as you've said, Google and Apple. Now, Google and Apple have, to put it very politely, a colourful and questionable history in terms of their respect for privacy and data protection. One of the challenges is that their element of the app is not open source. We don't know what's inside that. They can, of course, change that and tweak that as time goes forward. But also, I think that there's a concern that this is, to a certain extent, a public relations exercise. Some have cynically suggested that Google, who have all of these problems with data protection, are trying to somewhat massage their public image by taking part in the public health effort. Now, be that as it may, certainly it's hard to have full oversight and accountability with private sector actors playing key roles along the way. And it's not just in terms of the phone technology. We also have companies that are involved in outsourcing how the SMS is to be sent. So, you know, there are vulnerabilities along the way. Certainly, a lot of good work has been done, and some of these can be tightened up.
Okay.
But we're ultimately left with this question of proportionality because, you know, this isn't a standalone measure. There's also, of course, the physical human contact tracing piece, and the money that's being spent on this is effectively being taken away from there.
Liam Herrick from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties and Andy O'Donoghue, our Tech Tuesday contributor. Thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word at AFM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.